This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
G'day and welcome to the Pod Pod. It's Holmesy here talking all things AFL Fantasy Classic for you on this Wednesday, 8th of May. And boy, do we have a lot to chat about today with some of the news that's come out. Bit of a different crew this week. A few of the regular panel members not available, but we've put together a bit of a different team, which is good. First, I'll start with you, Bales. You're Mr. Fix-It. Mr. Contractor himself, when one of the podcasts needs someone to come fill in, you always put your hand up to help out. So I appreciate it, mate. How are you going?
Yeah, good, mate. I like that intro. Yeah, no, it's good to make the pod debut, which is nice. And yeah, always happy to be the late substitution in if anyone needs me. So yeah, no, looking forward to getting stuck into it. Plenty to discuss.
Yeah, that's it, mate. And the rumours are true. The pod's dead. The draft doctors are dead. So we've done a bit of a merger. We've got him on back to back. Mr. Steve Classic Fizz himself, mate. Thanks again for jumping on. How was your week?
Mixed bag, Holmesy. Happy to be back. Really enjoy it. The only problem with being on is I tend not to listen to it. So, and I've been, it'll be 2 weeks in a row where I won't have wanted to listen to the pod. So your downloads are going to be down a little bit again, unfortunately.
Yeah, we actually do like new listeners on this show, Steve. So we need to keep those numbers up. And look, if you ever do need someone to make a guest appearance on the Draft Doctors, I'm more than happy to. I rank by seasonal average from last year. That's what you're supposed to do, and that's about all I can really offer from a draft sense. But if you do need someone to chat ideas off, I'll more than happy jump on there, mate. But thanks for jumping on. Let's get stuck into our rounds from last week. We'll quickly gloss over it because it's Wednesday, but we do need to touch on it. So, Bales, why don't you just let the listeners know how you're tracking, what you're scoring, and where are you ranking at the moment?
Yeah, so 2041, not too bad. Escaped some of the bullets, but still copped a couple like everyone else did. Dropped 140 spots to 1135, so going okay. It's good to be inside top 1,000 for a week. We're back out, so hopefully we can get back in there this week with a few manoeuvres with trades.
Yeah, nah, very good spot for you, Bales. Very, very jealous from where I'm at the moment. But Steve, how'd you go with a bit of a bounce back week, I believe?
Yeah, 2098. It got me up a couple thousand to 3,148. So happy.
Yep. Anytime the ranking is moving in the right direction, I think you have to be pretty happy, especially with all those bullets, which we're going to get to. I myself had a little bit of a bounce back week, not huge, but a 2056, which saw me rise about 800 spots into 3644. So after a back of a two week period where I went seriously backwards, I've started moving up again, which is pretty positive. But with a few bullets this week, it's gonna get pretty creative to continue moving in the right direction. But Bales, why don't you kick us off? We'll start with our Stato pick of the week. Where do you want to get positive?
My pick of the week, Caleb Sarong on debut with a 141. I was actually saying to you boys off air that normally I bring these primo mids in and they normally break when I bring them in and they put up a dud score or their worst score in like 10 years or whatever it was. So it's nice to actually see someone on debut get a very, very nice score. So very happy to own one of your boys, Holmesy and Sarongi.
Yeah, very happy as a Freo man with what he's doing at the moment. And he's a big target this week, Bales, do you think?
I think he still is. He's got the good buy, the round 13 buy, which I think we might discuss a bit later. But with a few of the, I think we've got, what, nine trades or something there before buys. So if you're looking at planning now, Sarong, I think, is a good target if you're willing to pay up a little bit more for him.
Yep, like it. And someone I will wanted to look at this week, which we'll get to. Steve, what's your Stato pick for the week?
Hayden Young. So I had the VC on Brody Grundy all week, and for some unknown reason moved it to Sheasel at the last minute, didn't put out a great score. So I ended up putting the C on Hayden Young with that tasty matchup, and then obviously Fife got the sub vest and Hayden Young put out a pretty nice captain score for me.
Yeah, I did notice actually that you captained Hayden Young. Bit of a masterstroke there. Can't say that the Sheasel move wasn't a good one in hindsight. I mean, defenders against St Kilda, we've been waiting for him to go into the midfield all season and it hasn't happened. And then I think it's the first time I've VC'd him all year as well, and he has gone into the midfield. So that was a bit of a hard pill to swallow. But yeah, I don't think it was a bad choice in hindsight. My Stato pick for the week, and there's a bit of a story here. So Josh Dunkley, 151, little bit kissed, mainly because he was going to be Tom Green for a lot of the week, but unfortunately there was a bit of doubt around LDU, and there was a little bit of talk about Bonner being the sub, and I just didn't want to lock that trade in too early. So I faded Green, which was, you know, it's turned out to be the right move, but it was pretty nerve-wracking at the time. And I was going to go to Bont, but had a little bit of a look at the numbers, and he's been playing a little bit more forward, but still I thought he was a good option against Hawthorn. But funnily enough, I'd looked at Dunkley. I liked his numbers against Gold Coast and thought he was ready to pop. And I was playing Warnie in the Content Creators Cup, Bales, and I actually looked at the matchup, and he has Bont, and I was losing, and I needed something to kind of get a little bit of an edge there. So I decided to go Dunkley instead, and boy, that paid off with a 151. So we definitely get a little bit lucky at times, but yeah, very happy with that pick. Bales, why don't you give us your Dossie pick for the week?
Yes, I think it's got to go Lachie Whitfield for me. I know that he got tagged. I know that the conditions weren't great, but at the end of the day, like, come on, man, you got to get a bit of the ball. Takes, like, normally we've seen Dacos in the past get tagged, and when he was playing defence, he'd rush to get the kick-ins. I wasn't seeing any of that from Whitfield. He took some kick-ins, but there were some times where he's just like, no, you take it. So Whitfield, mate, he's been pretty good all year. I'm expecting a bounce back, but yeah, it was a very, very poor score. 48, come on.
Yeah, look, as a non-owner, I was actually pretty happy watching that, but I would maybe a little bit nervous this week. Essendon have actually been putting a little bit of time into those running halfbacks. I know, I think they tagged Nasiah to a pretty low score earlier on, and I think there was one other that they tagged as well. Not saying there's going to be a hard tag, but maybe they put someone on him. Defenders against Essendon have been a pretty poor matchup too. But yeah, no doubt Whitfield will jump back. He's a very quality player. Steve, what is your Dossie pick for the week?
Probably Liam Baker, I think. Playing full-time mid, only the 18 touches, 74. Is it the worst score? No. But I didn't really have that many bad scores, to be honest. So I just felt a bit let down by Liam Baker.
Did you watch that game very closely, Steve? Or
No. Didn't see a skerrick of that one.
Bales, did you see that game at all?
I only got to catch really a bit of the last quarter. So I didn't get to really watch it too much in depth, unfortunately.
Yeah, it seemed like he had the role. I just think those Richmond mids are a little bit up and down. And if they have those games where teams just get on the top, I think he might find it hard to score. But let's be honest, with the forward options that we have, he's still someone that we have to consider if he's playing that full-time inside mid-role. So don't hate that pick there, Steve. My Dossie pick for the week kind of hurts, but Connor Rosey, all these hindsight warriors saying, you know, there's never a one-week hammy. You should have traded him. But at some point, you just have to back in the coaching staff. And if they've named him up to play, you can't trade that out. Hayden Young sat the last quarter for Freo only 2 weeks ago with that hammy, and he got up and played and he was fine. So it hurts in hindsight, but yeah, I wish they had have named him out. So I would have got the same score with a rookie and I wouldn't have lost 80K or whatever it was on the other end. But Connor Rosey, we'll get into that a little bit later on. Quick update on the DOS Watch first. Dossie wants me to put this in. being the Pod Pod's biggest fan, at 2169 and into a rank of 7,550. So first time he's ever been inside the top 10K. I imagine he's pretty happy about that, but Dossie Watch, I'm sure we'll watch that ranking start to slide back out to 20K where it normally is. I'm sure he won't stay up that high for too much longer. On to the Pod Pod Challenge quickly, and we have a new leader. Bandits of Barbados come into number one with Get Out of the Queue and slipping to number nine, but still in the top 10 alongside the Percolators sitting at 10th, but 11 coaches in the top 100, so dropped off a little bit, but no doubt, hopefully over the next couple of weeks, we can start to get those numbers jump back up because we have a lot of quality listeners listening into this pod who are good coaches. All right, lads, let's get stuck into our hot topics. Where do we start? We've got a few premium bullets that we need to talk about first. So, Bales, I'm going to throw to you. We've got Green, Rosie, Yo, Williams, and now Jordan Sweet. First off, how many of these bullets do you have, and where do you think we should be prioritising our trades this week?
Yeah, so I've currently got the three. I've got Yo, Williams, and Sweet. It's even a tough spot, and even with coaches that have got more than that, it's going to be really, really hard to try and navigate this. I think that looking at a bit of news today, like I'll sort of go from sort of the ones that are listed. So Tom Green, talking on his pod, the quote that he said was, he'll be touch and go for this weekend. Thankfully, his scans came back pretty clear, so I didn't tear major ligaments or anything. If not this weekend, I'll be playing next weekend, but I'll be doing absolutely everything I can to play this week. But that sounds to me, normally players go, I'll be playing this week. I'm pretty confident, get through training. But the fact that he's even said that if it's not this week, that's a bit of doubt. So I'm not sure that he plays or not, but 1 week, you might look at keeping him. Rosie's probably an interesting one. I think Michelangelo Ricci also said that Sweet's in doubt as well, said that Rosie's looking more like 2 weeks. So that's probably the one where you might look at a trade. I think Yo is probably the top priority out of all of them. I think he needs to go. He's been a great pick this year, averaging near 90. So I think it's a good time. It's almost a little bit of a blessing in a way in terms of just having to trade him. Obviously, if you've got bullets, it's not a blessing, it's just another one to get rid of. And then Williams as well, if you can get rid of him, great. I think a lot of people, if they still got him like myself, he's probably a D7, so he's not a must trade. But if you can get him to someone and it works in your trades, I think that he can go.
Yeah, Williams is interesting. Obviously been named out this week due to injury. So he was a test for this week, so you would assume that he'd get up for next week. So he's not necessarily a trade out, but you absolutely don't want him anywhere near your field. Potentially, maybe you can loop him and potentially get a ceiling score at some stage before he drops too much. But I don't think he's as urgent a trade out. Steve, how many of these bullets do you have, and where are you potentially looking to pivot this week?
Yeah, so I've got Yo and Sweet. I'm one of the people who went Sweet to R2 at the last minute. Where would I go on my trades in terms of those players? We were talking about that with Bales just before you popped on, and the donut is being considered. We were sort of talking about a few guys like Toby Conway, Lloyd Meek. The problem I have with doing something like that is you're spending more and more trades on the one position. So I think unless you're going to do the full upgrade to a Tim English, Max Gawn, whatever premium ruck you were planning to get to eventually during the buy rounds, I think the donut's in play. It's something I was sort of talking about last week, is trying to improve my process. And I think if you do one of these sideways moves or whatever, you're just wasting time. You're not actually improving your team. You're setting yourself back further and further, because no doubt there'll be another injury next week and there'll be an injury the week after. It will happen. So those are the two options on the table for me.
You're not considering a one down, one up, swinging some DPP and moving Sweet to R3 and going all the way up to an English or a Marshall?
Yeah, we were talking about that as well. And I think a move I'm considering is Sheasel down to English, and then doing something in terms of in that sort of area.
I actually really like that. I think that's probably a play over a donut, Steve. I know you love donuts and Simpsons references, but
Well, it's just I'm trying to process it all because we just got the sweet thing this afternoon, and it's like, what is going to improve my team in the long run, not set me back, and what can I justify and live with going forward?
Yeah. Look, it's interesting. I have the four, so I have Rosie, Yo, Williams, and now Jordan Sweet, unconfirmed but confirmed. I am looking at holding Williams. I think I looked at some trades with Williams and a Williams down a Peatling to get Yo up to an English. I was 2K short there, but I could do that with Marshall. But after trading him out last week, I'm not sure I want to go back there. I think English is the ruckman that I want to pair with Max Gawn. And now that Williams has been named out and he's not going to drop any cash, I think I'm happy to just sit him at D8 or D7, whatever it is, for the week. And hopefully that week off does him some good. I'm looking for ways to potentially hold Rosie and go dead rookie down to get Yo up to English and swing some stuff around, which would move Sweet to R3. I think that's potentially a play, but I think I'm just going to fall back on trading Yo and trading Rosie, knowing that Rosie might potentially be two and Yo's going to be two and getting English in a Clary Oliver. I think that's probably a pretty good play there, trying to get two potential keepers out of a bad situation. Yes, it's probably a little bit early on Clary, but at some point you are going to have to take a risk. And with these bullets, I think it's probably the time to do it. And if he does pop, it's good. And maybe there's some carnage next week and other coaches can't get there, which would put me a step ahead. But just some things I'm thinking about. Bowles, what do you think there?
Yeah, I don't mind it. I haven't really considered the Sheezel play, but thinking of it, like with the Jordan Sweet out, I can't get Dacos in my team this week, and I'm very nervous that he's going to put up a massive score. So there is a play to consider that as well, like what Fizz is talking about. And then obviously with you as well, I don't mind that grabbing a couple of those premiums and swapping it like that. I'm at this stage, I think I'm looking at English for Yo and flicking some DPP and then getting Peatling in my forward line at this stage. But I don't know if I could quite rule out that Sheezel will play, because I feel like if I don't get Dacos this week, he could be a player that I just might not be able to get for 2-3 weeks if carnage just keeps on building up. So I think you're going a lot of different ways with this one. I think
I've got one last. I got one other little squirrely one. I'm not putting it on the table, but I think this is the pod. We're going to talk about some pods. 4% owned. Tom De Koning. He's actually been playing very, very well, averaging pretty nicely, and he will roll into that forward status after the next batch of DPPs, which is only, it's a few weeks off. It'll be in the middle of the buys. He's got a reasonably achievable break even this week. Don't love ruck forwards, but he's been pretty good. I got him in draft, so he's just absolutely killing it. But his average at the moment is actually knocking on the door of the top six forwards the way they stand.
Well, what can you see him going from here, Steve, in terms of he's the second ruck with Pitnet, and then you've obviously got Mackay and Kerno as being the main forwards. Is it just a hot patch of form, or do you think it's something that's sustainable?
Well, it just depends. Like it's like Luke Jackson in a lot of ways, but he's actually scoring pretty well in this role, right? So I don't expect him to go at an 85, but if he went at high 70s, around 80, that's okay. And you've always got the chance, like a Luke Jackson, that they shift Pitnet out and he assumes the main ruck role, in which case it's a really good thing. Just throwing it out there as a little bit of a
Enough. We'd heard the feedback from a listener that will remain unnamed that there wasn't enough pods on the pod, Steve. So fair enough. Get you on here to raise them. Fair enough. Bowles, let's just go back to Peatling as someone you're looking to bring in. Probably deserves a little bit more discussion because the Stars did align last week with Tom Green going down early. Canelio's coming back. Tom Green will be back either this week or next week. Realistically, what do you think he can do as someone that's been the sub four times this year and probably won't have that midfield role when all of the soldiers come back?
Yeah, this is a really tough one. I think if Tom Green's out this way, I think it's a good pick because you're probably going to get a decent score this week and you're just sort of hoping that he can get you maybe a couple of 70s, then the round 12 buy hitch, you can trade him out. He's made maybe 150K and you'd be happy days. If Tom Green played this week, that'd make it a little bit trickier. You've still got negative break even to hide behind, negative 11, I think it is. So he could still make cash. He could still have a good score. But as you mentioned, if Green and Canelio are back, they've got Josh Kelly, Callum Ward, Finn Callahan. I might be forgetting one or two others, but they like Toby Bedford runs through there as well occasionally. Like they've got a few, and then Peatling himself. So it's where's he going to get this midfield role? So, and he could be like Giants are a strong side. Like I was a bit nervous about Darcy Jones and even Harvey Thomas, who was sub last week, and these guys. And Peatling was one of those guys I was nervous about as well, but he smashed it last week with the 115. So it's. I'm sort of keen to see what you guys think because I think if Green's out, it's a good play still. You can get a player that can come on field for you. But if Green's playing, then it makes it a little bit maybe iffy and maybe you save some cash and get a Darcy Jones or a Dan Curtin or a Bruce Revel on your bench and just make some cash and play one of those other rookies that you got on your bench.
Yeah, Steve, what do you think about Peatling? He's definitely should hopefully be on your radar a little bit more in sort of that draft realm. But is he someone we can look at in Classic?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I haven't had a great deal of interest, to be honest. I expect, like you said, mentioned, things went his way this week and probably last week. I expect Canelio's back at the very least, so there's someone who's going to chop into the time he got last week. Possibly Tom Green plays, it chops in again. He scored pretty well. He has had a little bit of midfield time. I don't think they're not going to make Callum Ward the sub in his 300th game. So he's going to be featured, I imagine. Josh Kelly's obviously having a great season as well. I'm probably not super hot. I haven't really been looking at him from a draft point of view. I think he's kind of pricey at this point. So he's probably not someone I'm considering. But maybe it's a good option. I don't know. Maybe, like Bale said, if Tom Green misses, it's better than if he played.
Yeah, I think you'd really be banking on almost a ceiling score this week against Essendon with Tom Green being out. I think if you don't get that, the pick can get dicey pretty quickly. So for that reason, I'm not too keen. I think if we had have done it last week at 380K, it's a lot different than paying up 440K this week, Bales. But at the same time, we see coaches pull off these kinds of moves every year. And when it comes off, you're definitely ahead of the comp. So I don't hate it. What about someone else in this price bracket? A little bit more expensive, someone that we've had before. I know I have and traded out. Colby McKercher now has the defensive role for North Melbourne with Schieser going into the midfield. What can we realistically see him doing from here, Bales?
Yeah, well, it's frustrating that he's doing so well now and all of us trade him out, and I was one of those that traded him out. He's been great, 109, 99. The only thing I worry with McKercher is that realistically, what do we think? How much do we think he's going to go up in price? Because he's got the round 12 bye. He got a 109 against the Crows with like 12 kick-ins or 11 kick-ins or something like that. So that's a lot. And then he got a 99 against the easiest matchup for defenders against Saints. I'm not doubting his ability at all. If you've got him, you keep it. It's about bringing him in. He's got a Gold Coast up in Darwin. I know that he doesn't require a lot of marks, but it's Gold Coast restrictive. It's obviously not a great ground to be scoring at. And then he's got the Bombers, who you mentioned before, Holmesy, a bit tougher for defenders as well. And then he's got Port Adelaide at Blundstone, which is a terrible matchup. Then he's got his bye. So it's that run after bye where he's got like West Coast, Collingwood, Melbourne and Bulldogs, which is a bit better. So I don't know. I don't like the matchup. So for that reason, I'm probably not. I was keen at the start of the week, but now I've called on it, looking a bit more into it. So I'd be keen again to see if you guys agree with that. But I'm a bit nervous. If you've got him, you're holding, and it's a great hold, and enjoy hopefully some good scores. But yeah.
Yeah, I think you summed that up pretty well, Bales, bringing the run there and talking about that. I think highlights just how much of a sort of a risky play it would be to bring him in back like right now, especially with his bye coming up. But yeah, absolutely. If you've still got him, hold that and potentially loop him off the bench is, I think, going to be a very, very good play. Lastly, before we get into some like or dislike for some targets, Bales, you put this in here, buy planning. Only 9 trades to go before we hit round 12. We don't have our buy round expert on us at the moment, Stato, but How long have you been looking at your buyers? Are you just starting to look at it now? And should coaches really start to look at it? Do you have any sort of flags that they might need to look at?
Yeah, I've been looking at it for a few weeks now. Not sort of too in depth. It's sort of been like, for example, like last week I was looking at it was a Tom Green and a Caleb Sarong, and I already had a Goulden in my midfield, so that split the decision and I went Sarong with the better buy. And definitely got to come into coaches' planning. It's like 9 trades to go, not very many, and probably people are dealing with issues this week, so it might only really be 7 for a lot of coaches. So like. Yeah, I think it's definitely got to be something that you split. Like I know a lot of us in our forward lines got a lot of those round 12 players, whether it be a Heaney or a Zorko, or if you're bringing a Peatling this week, you've Darcy Jones, you've got if you still got a Cadman, Harvey Thomas,
Tom Power,
another one. If you've got like a Blake Drury as well on the bench, Zach Fisher, if you've looked at him, where you still got him, there's a lot of those forwards in round 12. So think about that. There are a couple of those mid premiums. I've got 3 on the round 15 buy in Jack Steele, Jordan Dawson, and Marcus Bonapelli. So that's another one. Got to keep mine. Even some people in defence got Sheezel and Whitfield. So just, I guess, making sure those premiums are not sort of too heavy in one line and making sure you've got an even balance across your side, I think, is definitely something you've got to be looking at this point.
Yeah, I think the one that sticks out for me at the moment is that round 14 buy. So Carlton, Essendon, Geelong, Gold Coast, Melbourne and Essendon. Not a lot of relevant players that at least I have in my side from a lot of those teams. Like, you know, Essendon, you might look at a Darcy Parrish this week and you definitely want Zach Merritt, but whether you can pay up for that at this time of year is a bit interesting. Carlton, Sam Walsh, but outside of that, there's not too many. Maybe you look at a Nick Newman, which we'll get to. Geelong's pretty tough for fantasy as it is. Gold Coast, everyone has Flanders, but do you really want to be going an Anderson or a Took Miller at the moment? That's part of the reason why I'm potentially looking at Clary this week, going from Yo, because it's West Coast to Melbourne on that same bite. It helps the structure. But yeah, it's pretty tough. But yeah, good insights there, Bales. Definitely something to look at moving forward. And if it does split hairs with your trades, maybe that's something we look at this week, which is what we're going to get into now. Knowing that a lot of coaches have these bullets, we're going to go a like or dislike for a lot of these targets. So we're going to start with defenders. This one's pretty obvious, Steve, but Nick Dacos priced at 101, down 97K. Do coaches need to target Dacos this week, given the West Coast matchup and knowing his price is now starting to rise?
Yeah, 100%. If you don't have him, you should be trying to find a way to get him in if you don't have other problems.
Yep. Yeah, he was back on the weekend, that full-time midfield role with DeGoey and Mitchell out. That's going to be there again this week, and he could absolutely feast on the West Coast Eagles on that Sunday. So if you can find a way to get creative to get Dacos in, I think that's probably a play considering he is pretty highly owned already as it is. Bales, Jack Sinclair, priced at 96, down 76K for the year, had the monster score on the weekend. Was only against North Melbourne, but he went into the midfield and it's been stated that they liked him in there and they want to get a little bit more certainty in his role. Definitely one to target now.
I think so. Price at 96. He looked fantastic on the weekend, obviously 156 points. I think obviously the one coach probably got to keep in the back of their mind is Brad Crouch is a couple of weeks away. So he'll probably play VFL maybe a week or two, but he'll come in. Does that mean Sinclair has an even split between defence and midfield, but he looked great on the weekend and gave them something different, I thought, in that midfield. So I think that he's definitely going to be in that midfield long term. He's got a pretty good run as well coming up. Like he's got this week, he's got the Hawks. I think he's got the Eagles coming up as well. He's got Melbourne. I think he's got Freo next week, which is sometimes could be good, sometimes bad, especially for defenders if Freo chipping the ball around. But those other matchups after are good matchups. So yeah, I think I'd rather Dacos if you're looking between the two, but if you've got Dacos, like a few coaches do, I think Sinclair's probably your next best defender to look at.
Steve, this one's a little bit looser. Nick Newman, priced at 91, so down 91K for the year. We know he had a monster finish to last year, which actually got his price up there. No Zach Williams now. Adam Sard's still a little bit away, but they are getting McGovern and one more back, I think, off the top of my head. Could you be interested in a Nick Newman with that good buy?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I like Nick Newman, the player. If you're bringing him in, you're obviously bringing him in as a keeper. I find it hard to believe you don't have a better priorities, but it would be a point of difference. So I guess that's okay, but
that's the podcast. You got to say yes.
Yeah. The problem is when these guys come back, if you're buying these guys as a keeper and you go, your situation's good now whilst they're missing, but it's going to be the same as it was. It's probably not for my flavor, but I could understand why people would do it.
Yep. Fair enough. Bales, I'm not too interested here, but Tom Stewart priced at 88. He's still got that 47 baked into his price. Has been a close enough to a top six defender for probably the last 5 years now. But like or dislike, do you think Max Holmes is kind of eating into that pie a little bit and he's probably not going to be a top six defender for us this year?
Yeah, dislike for me. He's only had two scores out of 85 this year, and he was around two when he was Adelaide's 23rd player that night, and Hawthorn, where they give up plenty of points. So yeah, for me, Holmes looking really good back there as well. So for me, he might get to a point where he gets near 700k and maybe look at it, but at the moment, not for me.
Could you trade into a Max Holmes?
Ooh, could I trade into a Max Holmes? What's his price? Let's just get up here. 817. Probably not, because you probably don't have Sinclair. So I'd rather go him. And Holmes has only had one score over 100 this year. He's been very consistent, a lot of 80s and 90s, and a great draft pick. I got him in a couple of leagues this year, so very happy with that. But yeah, for me, I'd probably rather a couple of other options. But if you got him, he's been a pretty solid pick.
Steve, this player down 224k for the year, fantasy stud, but been out of form. Bit injured on the weekend, but still got to a decent score. James Sicily, priced at 82. What are your thoughts with the sick dog?
Not with the dislocated shoulder. Not for my taste, man. No way. I was off the sick dog at the start of the year. It only went worse. No chance.
Yeah, probably the wrong person to ask. But had to throw him in there. He's very, very cheap. Yeah. And if we can see that form turn around, you never know. But yeah, he's not playing the same filthy fantasy role that we had for last year. And yeah, definitely a pass. All right, let's get into some midfield targets. Now, we're going to start right at the top. Zach Merritt Bales, priced at 116, the only player in the comp that's still on the ton run, just gets it done week in, week out, whether it's through tackles, whether it's through goals, whether it's through bulk disposals. Is it not the time of year to be paying up for Zach Merritt, or do you think we just go straight to the top and lock away him? What do you think?
Well, Merritt's an interesting one. They got a good run coming up. You mentioned before about the bye, the round 14 bye. We probably don't have a lot of those players in there. So round 14 is good. Priced at 116 is tough. I'm sort of keen to get your thoughts on that, Holmesy, being like a coach that's finished high at the top and value, looking for value and stuff like that. I don't know. I'm probably not paying up for him at this stage. I'd rather have other options. But what do you think?
Oh, it's interesting, because we generally don't, at this time of year, we say don't go up there, because if you're going one down, one up, and you're using all your money to get up there, then are you not going to be able to get up to the next guy and the next guy, and then you're a little bit behind? But in a week like this, where pretty much a lot of coaches are going to have to go sideways on their bullets, maybe you do just bite the bullet and go straight up to a Zach Merritt. He's priced at 116. It's pretty tough. But at the form he's in, would it surprise us if he just went 116 plus for the rest of the year? We see players do this all the time, and he just keeps getting it done. He's one of those players that I just feel sick not owning, because you're hoping every week for a down game, and whether he starts slow, whatever it is, he just always gets there because he's just so good at the moment. So I would actually tick it off if you're in a position to get up there, and I'm okay with just locking that away. I think he's been very, very good, and you'd be a very happy owner, I would have thought.
Yeah, and the scary, one more thing I was just going to say was just the scary thing with Merritt, he hasn't put a 140 score up yet, which we know that he's good for a few, so that could come around the corner. So yeah, a bit nervous not owning him.
Yeah, just a very, very good player. And if you're waiting for him to come down, very likely that it won't happen. Steve, I'll give you this one because we know Bales already has him. Caleb Sarong, priced at 111. Can we still go there, or do you think we hold off a little bit? Was it a case of Nat Fyfe being out, which allowed him to really feast? We hadn't seen that ceiling score from him since round two. Or do you think he's just a really good player and we should look at it?
I think he's a really good player. You should look at it. I think it's the matchup. I captained him at home in my draft league. They've bled points for years through the midfield. So, he was a smash play this week. So, I mean, he's a good player. You can have him, absolutely. It's probably similar to Merritt. You're paying top dollar, but you're getting a top player.
Yep, yep. Agree there. Bales, my boy, Josh Dunkley, pretty unique due to having that round two bye. Missed the ceiling score last week, but what do you think about targeting a Josh Dunkley this week?
Yeah, I like it, especially if you're looking for something different, a pod up around the top there that not many coaches have got him. Obviously, the one sort of flag with him is that round 12 buy. Again, I'm still fine to bring a round 12 player if it fits your buy structure, because every player's going to miss a game at the end of the day. So if it fits your buy structure, you don't have a golden or a green and you're looking for a round 12 buy mid, yeah, he'd almost be my pick, almost out of the three at the moment.
Yeah, it's a great point you make. I'm exactly the same, Bales. If your buy structure allows it, there's absolutely nothing wrong. Yes, he's going to miss a game in 3 weeks, but every player's missing a game in the next seven. So, yeah, absolutely. If you can get there and you like him, don't let the round 12 buy scare you off too much, as long as you're not too heavy in that round already. Steve, I'll give you this one just because I think Bales is going to be a little bit biased being an Adelaide Crows fan. But Jordan Dawson doesn't have the midfield role that he had last year. He's still getting midfield time, but he's spending a little bit more time forward and playing these roles around the ground. He's still been scoring okay, and he's still highly priced, showing that he's in form. Do we think he's going to be a top eight mid this year and you'd be happy to pay up for a 111 price tag, or do you think we kind of wait on Dawson for a little bit and let everything else sort of come to fruition before we'd spend that money?
Yeah, it's a funny one. If you've got him, you're probably very happy, but he's probably not a player I'm keen to buy into. Just, I still think Adelaide are a bit of a funky team. Maybe he's in the same boat as Merritt and Sarong and probably finishes a top eight mid, right? But there's just something about Adelaide. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, they're not scoring like they were last year. Laird's a little bit off. Dawson's a little bit off. Saligo's been unreal. Crouch still gets it done. So, yeah, it doesn't seem like they have that same market share that they had last year where it was Dawson, it was Laird, and then there was no one else. It seems like they're playing a little bit more team orientated football at the moment, which means maybe the ceiling isn't there as much as it was last year, and maybe it's just a 100 to 105 guy, which in that case is overpriced. But I do like him still, and I'll be watching that pretty closely to see how that all plays out over the next month or so. Bales, Noel Anderson, priced at 108, still keeps getting it done. Two games to come in Darwin, and traditionally the Suns drop off in the second half of the year. Would you be happy to pay 108 for Noel Anderson at the moment?
Nah, a big dislike for me. I don't know. Noel Anderson's just a player I've never really got around in terms of a fantasy pick yet. There's Rao there. There's Toot Miller still there. Will Graham, obviously, he's playing as well, but not scoring a huge amount. But I don't know. Anderson just seems like that player that can drop a 60 when you least expect it, and whereas the other guys are a lot more safer than him, and he's priced at 108, and there's a lot of good options in that price range. And as you said, those Darwin gains for me, I wouldn't be looking at him at the moment.
Does have that good buy, but yeah, it does seem that if teams are going to tag it, Gold Coast, he's the one that attracts it these days, which doesn't make a lot of sense. He butchers the footy at times, but he does get forward and kick goals, so maybe that's what they're trying to stop. Fizz, Sam Walsh, priced at 106. Do we think there's still value there, or do we think that's essentially what he's going to go at for the rest of the year?
Yeah, I don't think there is value. I think that's it. You either hopped on him straight away or you didn't. The marks, I can't have it. Can't have it. This, catch the footy, mate. Catch the footy.
Yeah, he's not getting enough cheap ball at the moment in terms of marks around the ground. 30 disposals plus a week, but we've seen plenty of players put up these numbers and not have the real elite fantasy game to go with it. So that 145 that he had in the first game still propping his score up quite nicely, but I think, yeah, you might be paying for what you get at the moment and he might just be a little bit off those top eights. But he does have that good buy, so probably still consider it there. Bales, Connor Rosie down, Zach Butters starting to hum. Do we think he's the beneficiary this week and moving forward? They have some nice matchups in Geelong, North and Hawthorn, I think. Or they might not be North, but I know they've got three good matchups to come. Do we jump across to Zach Butters, or do you think he's pretty much priced at what he's going to do too?
I think he's priced at probably around what he's going to do, priced at 105. Obviously, the positive with him is he's got that round 13 bye, which is great. And I think that probably alleviates the value. I wouldn't be doing it this week, though. I know Geelong are a good matchup for midfielders. I just worry with no Rosie, Geelong have shown in the past that they can throw an Atkins, a Blitzarves, or an O'Connor or someone to tag. And with no Rosie there, I could just see how are Geelong going to stop Port's midfield. And I think Butters is that guy they're going to stop. So I probably wouldn't do it this week, but I don't mind it next week, especially with those two matchups to come.
Yeah, look, I think Geelong will just stop the Port Adelaide midfield by playing football. There's not much to stop in that Port Adelaide midfield at the moment. They've been pretty disappointing for the last month. But yeah, I agree. It wouldn't shock me for Scott to do that. He's shown that in the past. Steve, Bont, 104. Interesting. Only really the 1 year out of the box where he's been an elite fantasy scorer for us. Normally he sits around that 100 to 105, which conveniently that's where he's sitting at the moment. It's one because he could take the season away from us if it all clicks and they say, all right, you're back in 80%. We just need a lift for you. But is the price right for Bont, or are you a little bit sort of wary with the role that he's playing at the moment and everything that's going on at the Dogs?
Yeah, I had a look at him last week and I just think he's going to be one of those guys, probably similar to Noah Anderson, who falls out of the, you know, they're a teens midfielder. They're an 11 to 20 midfielder rather than a top 10 midfielder. Maybe we, you know, he won the Brownlow last year, or at least the moral Brownlow. So a bit of regression was due.
The old Stato PhD on the Brownlow regression. Yeah, look, and you were big on it in the preseason. You say you look for these players that regress because they were doing things so far out of the norm, and his tackles on top of everything that he was doing meant that he had an elite fantasy season. But with that role, playing a little bit more forward and not being around the ball as much, his tackle numbers and marks have been down as well. So, yeah, maybe he's not the M1 to M4 that we sort of projected at the start of the year, but just got to be aware, keep watching it, because if it does change, he can get away from us very quickly. Bales, I'm going to finish with you. I'm just going to give you two value options this week, and I want to get your thoughts and whether or not we should consider bringing them in, both with the round 14 buy, Darcy Parrish priced at 97 and now Clayton Oliver priced at 82. Is the time to be jumping across to these two players who have shown to be very good fantasy scorers in the past?
I'll start with Parrish quickly. I think he looked really good on the weekend. The game time was up. That was the only concern for me, was that time on ground. I think he was over 80%, which was great to see. Looked really good, looked hungry for the ball, took a lot of marks, got some tackles as well. And Oliver looked good as well. Still not looking like the 110 Oliver that we've seen in the past, but certainly back to a little bit of that. Got a few of the marks around the ground, some transition points. I think if you're picking one, you're probably going Parrish for this week. I really like the fact that if you can look at Oliver this week against Carlton on the Thursday night, do you want to lock in a trade on the Thursday night if we get some other stuff happening later in the weekend? That next week he's got West Coast in the final game of the round, does Oliver. So that would be a good time to pounce. You get an extra week. He's got a 97 break even. And Parrish has got he's got Giants this week, tricky matchup. But after that, it's got a pretty nice run up to his bye, and then even after his bye. So I'd go Parrish this week, but I do like Oliver as well.
Steve, do you have any counter thoughts on Clayton Oliver?
No, like Oliver, he's at the right price. I think Jaden Papowski tweeted out that he had a good run of opposition who give up points at the stoppage, which obviously that's going to be his bread and butter. So I don't mind it. Just circling back on Bont as well, the Bulldogs are way down in stoppages as well from last year. So that's obviously going to be where Bont does his damage as well. So just something to consider in terms of game style about the players.
And Lyriat too as well.
Yep. Very good from you, Steve. I knew we got you on this podcast for a reason, bringing those deep analysis stats of yours. All right, we're going to quickly touch on the forwards before we look at rookies and your questions quickly. Now, I want to preface this by saying there's a big three in the forward line in terms of Heaney, Flanders and Zorko, and then it's daylight. And if you can, I'd actually be avoiding trading into any forward premiums for a while. I know Steve was sort of talking about this last week and trying to just get more information about these forwards and hopefully something else coming to light, because there's not a lot of value. Let's put it this way. I think if you're trading into a forward premium this week, you're essentially going to get what you pay for, if not a little bit less. But if you do need to actually trade into one because that's what your structure needs, then there's a few here that we'll sort of talk about. First one here, Bales, Brad Hill priced at 92. It makes me feel a little bit awkward and weird, but you can't knock what he's done. He's had a ceiling score. I think he's had one bad score, but outside that, he's been one of those players that they're more than happy to use off the half back and through the midfield. Could you go with Brad Hill?
If you're looking for a forward, you could. It's just the fact that, he is just prone to those bad scores. Like he had in round one, he scored a 41 against Geelong in Geelong, and then he scored a 59 against Port Adelaide. So you could probably put that down to the bad matchups. So if you're looking for a forward, he could be an option, but I do worry that he could put up a dud score. And as you guys said, I think maybe just wait on these forwards and get some more information to see who's going to be top six and then maybe target him. Because price of 92, you're not really going to get much value, I don't think.
Yep, love that, Bales. Steve, Jai Caldwell, subbed out on the weekend on 61 with calf tightness. Sounds like he's good to go this week, which is a little bit of salt into the wound for owners. But priced at 88, could you still consider a Jai Caldwell?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, no want chance. To elaborate?
I just think he's going to be one of those players who gets shifted round depending on role. He's out of the midfield. You got Setterfield due back soon, we think. Essendon's 1-2 keeps getting pushed back 1-2. So I like the player. I really like him. Again, I think he's one of those players who falls into the 10-20 overall ranks at the end by average. So really nice draft pickup, but again, not someone you're probably picking up at this point in Classic.
Yeah, and Perkins back on the weekend was sort of managed his time on ground and role as well, so you'd think that maybe he starts to get his minutes up as well. And Caldwell does seem to be the one that shifts around and historically has low time on ground as well, which means he can have a bit of a floor score too. But I actually like what he's been doing, but yeah, I'm not sure I'd be paying 88 for him at this stage. Bales, Dylan Moore priced at 86. His price has jumped off the back of 2 tons and a 90. Can you go to Dylan Moore? We've seen him average 90 in that half forward role in the past. Hawthorn aren't what they were. They've been worse this year, especially for scoring. Could you be confident in Dylan Moore, or do you think you needed to go last week or the week before and you've kind of missed the boat and you can get him later on for pretty much the same price if he is a top six forward?
If you're looking for a premium forward and you're not looking at those top three, you've got the two and you're not going Zorko, I think Moore is probably your pick. He's looked really good the last couple of weeks, and he's got another good matchup this week against the Saints. He does have Port Adelaide. Wait, was it Port Adelaide next week or the following week or something? No, Port next week, Adelaide Oval. Tough matchup there, but he did have a couple of those 40s earlier in the year. I think that was more down to he missed the preseason with glandular fever. So I think it's just him working his way back. He looks fit and sort of back to the Dylan Moore that we saw. It was a couple of weeks ago. Sort of really tear it up and be that top six forward. So I think he's probably the one that's likely to stay in there. But there are still a few little flags as well. Like you still like Hawthorn, you sort of don't know what you're going to get week to week and whatever. So if you're looking for one, you could go him. I'm probably still waiting on my forwards though.
Yep, no, I agree there, Bales. Steve, last one for you, and you've been someone that's been sort of championing this bloke over the preseason, wondering why he's not getting the role that we think he should. But Jack McRae, priced at 84, had two good scores but didn't look great, and on the weekend he didn't look great at all. I think there was something in the presser saying that he was potentially doing a little bit of work on Newcomb around the ground, so maybe that could explain why he was not really getting the ball on the outside as much. He looked good on the inside but just wasn't on the ground enough. Could you trade into McRae with any kind of confidence?
I couldn't. It's been a horrible pick. Need my head read. Bad process. I don't think it was bad for it. I can still justify it, but you can't. I don't know that you can do it at this point. There's just too many red flags.
Yeah, and it's a nervous watch each week to see him named on the bench and wondering whether Bevo's going to make him sub or not. It's probably going to happen this week, let's be serious. But no, I wouldn't be trading into him this week unless Bevo gets sacked and then the magnets get switched around and he's back in the midfield. But for now, I don't think I'd be trading into him as someone that's had him for the last 2 years and has been a hard watch. All right, Bales, before we get into the questions, let's just quickly touch on the rookie targets for people that might not have had these bullets and are looking for a traditional down up this week. Out of the rookies that we have available, Bruce Revel, Lachie Sullivan, Kalsha Deer, Hardman, Jones and Woe Woden, where do you think you'd be looking? Maybe sort of rank these rookies and talk about where you'd be going.
Yeah, so at number one, I think I've actually probably got Bruce Revel, the Breville. I think I've got him at number one. I think with all those injuries at Brisbane, I think that his job security, at least in the short term, is pretty good. And I've heard on a few podcasts like this week that trading in these rookies, you probably want them in there for fits, because if you start trading in these red dots, then they're starting to get dropped. They're going to build up, and then the buys hit, and then you haven't got a full squad of 30. You might have players missing, then all of a sudden you're scraping the 18 when you really want 22 or close to each week. So I think Bruce Revel's probably my top one. The Lachie Sullivan one does worry me a little bit. Great matchup this week, and he potentially a fieldable player if you can hold off and you know he's not the sub. But Tom Mitchell and Degoe apparently are back in next week. Whether they do come back or not is obviously to be seen. But I worry with him. Cal Shadir, sort of playing that forward or key forward role, so I'm not as keen on him. Hardiman, he could be dropped this week. He got subbed out last week. I think he'll still hold, but didn't show the scoring. Darcy Jones, I just worry week to week about him being the sub or potentially out. He looks very, very good, but the Giants are a strong team. And Woi Woden, Bowie's back this week. So then you've got Saylor back in a week or two. So I worry with him. The other one that's not actually on the list, I don't actually mind, is one of my boys, Dan Curtin. Not a great score on the weekend in the showdown, but he'd almost be my second favorite one behind Revel, just with the job security moving forward. I can't see him being dropped by the Crows for the next month or so. So I'd probably go him next. But I think Revel's probably my pick, being quite a good price, and job security looks pretty good in the short term.
Yeah, look, I agree with your list there, Bowes. It's in a perfect world, Lachie Sullivan's definitely the one you want to go to. He has the best pedigree, mature age, looked good, had the role at least when he went on the ground. But you're dead right. You need to be picking a rookie at this time of the year that has job security. You really want them playing through the buys if possible. There's no point trading in a Sullivan this week if he's going to be sub or out next week. And yeah, he might make 50K this week, but if he tops out at 300, 310, then you're in a bit of trouble. I'd love to go there myself, but I think there's too much doubt around Degoe and Mitchell coming back. But in saying that, if he plays this week and is good, and then some of those players come back and he still holds, I think you can still target him at 280, 290K next week. I think that's probably the play there. But agree on Revel. Looked good at times on the weekend, and with those injuries, I think he probably has the best job security of the lot of them. All right, lads, let's quickly bang through some of these questions. We've been going for a while here. I'll start with you, Steve. This one's from the Drew Jones, the one himself. Should he ruin it for everyone and finally trade in Zorko? Do you think we can pay 950K for a 35-year-old that has hammy issues? He's been absolutely unreal, 184 on the weekend. Do you do it?
Sure, why the hell not?
Yeah. Yeah, look, you got to do it, right, at some stage. He's the number one forward at the moment, or right up there. Coaches that got the 180 on the weekend against some of the other premiums that we have in the forward line have got a big leg up, and there's nothing to indicate that he won't just continue on. I'm not saying you're going to get the 180, but he's been fantastic. So we'll tick that off. And to be honest, if he pings a hammy or he has a rest, then you've got to cop it. But it just is what it is at this stage. He's too dangerous to not at least consider. Bales, this one is from Forked Hawk. If Sweet was your R2 and is out this week, thoughts on a big downgrade, upgrade to English, or Stevie Fizz, run a donut at R2 and fix other issues like Yo Green, Rosie, Z-Wheel. Are you on the donut train? We've heard Fizz's thoughts.
Oh, I my brain is wired in fantasy that I just can't bring myself to getting in a donut. I'll just almost bring in anyone just to not get a donut. So I would probably even just bring in Vicentini almost if he gets named, and just even take his maybe 20 points for the week. But yeah, I guess it depends how really. I still think if you can get English and you can make that work, then I would be doing it. I think the only way you'd ever really look at the donut is if you can't get English or anything like that. But yeah, I can't get a donut personally.
Yeah, I think I'd be going the premium and just dealing with everything else as well. I'm not sure I'd be copping the donut there. Steve, this one's from Taser. He's copped a bunch of bullets like a lot of us have. Do you think it's a play and process to hold Rosie and Green and just keep upgrading the rookies around and then obviously get the triple upgrade next week? Or do you think with those two big boys, you kind of have to trade one of them, otherwise you're going to be giving away too many points?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I would find a way to hold green, I think. It doesn't sound as bad. I don't like strain, so maybe you trade Rosé, but I still think it's a pro. I think the 2 weeks is bad. What do you think, Holmesy? I'm trying to improve my process on this. I think 1 week's injuries are easy to hold, but 2 weeks plus, especially a hamstring, that could, he's not come up, you know. You don't want that 2 to turn into 3.
Yeah, well, that's my thought process for Rosé. If he misses 1 and you hold, then you're probably in a decent spot. But if he misses 2, you're in a world of hurt. With Green and these type of players, I just think you need to think, if he comes back after 1 week, does he have the ability to hurt you? And Tom Green absolutely does. I traded him out last week for his 1 week suspension and he comes back with a 170. We know that Tom Green has that in him. And if you trade him out this week, and he comes back next week and he puts up a monster, are you really going to be any better off? I wouldn't have thought so. So I'm in the camp there with you, Steve. If you've got Tom Green, I'd be looking to hold. It sounds like he's more than likely to at least get up next week, whereas Rosie's a little bit different. I'd be looking to trade Rosé at this stage, knowing he's got a massive break even. Yeah, you're going to have to suck it up and potentially trade him back in 3-4 weeks' time when his price bottoms out. But yeah, that's where I'd be looking to go there. Bales, this one here from Henza. Love the work of the pod. Can you split Soligo and Sinclair from me? So Soligo is one we didn't mention. What do you think about Soligo and Sinclair? One's obviously priced a little bit more, 850 for Sinclair, Soligo 720. But do you think it's a play to sort of save that cash and go with Soligo instead?
I think it really depends what that cash is going to do for you next week. Soligo's been great, right? But I actually went to the game with Jake, the Essendon game when the Crows were in Adelaide, and we both said on the night that he's a great player and he's almost more of a better player in real life than in fantasy. And he's so young, so he could, again, that could happen down the track. But 115 with 10 tackles, I don't know if that's sustainable. If you can, and the cash doesn't matter, I'd be going Sinclair. At least he's going to be in your team. The one positive, though, with Soligo is he does have that round 15 buy. So you can hold him right the way through and you can offload him in round 13, 14, 15 if you want. And you can offload into a fallen premium or even a fully fledged premium if you've got the cash you've upgraded. So I don't mind it, but Sinclair for me, I think.
Yep. Yeah, agree with you 100% there, Bales. Steve, this one's an interesting one. This one's from Dino Pigs. He's talking about which popular rookies are worth holding. So it's very easy to sort of cash out a Roberts, a Closey, and some of these other, a Jeremy Sharp, for example. Do we think they're worth holding and taking a haircut on the premiums, knowing that we're potentially going to need them to play over the buys? Or do you think, nah, let's just use the cash while we can and get up to the real Uber premiums and deal with it later on? What are you thinking here?
Yeah, it's a good question. I would probably just go as a needs basis. Like, Roberts is probably a prime one to move up, I would have thought. Like, he's not going to make you any more money. You've got returning players from Sydney. I feel like he's a player who's going to get subbed off. He's always a chance to be subbed off. So he's a player I'm pretty happy to move on. Like a Sanders, looks like he might come back this week after a pretty strong VFL performance. What's his name? Harvey Thomas. You can probably move him on. I think a lot of these guys will turn into red dots. Someone like a Comben, who I still have, he's probably going to play, but he's not going up anymore, is he? Like, that's going to be, but he will fill a score on those bye weeks. So he's maybe someone whose job security is okay, but maybe some of those sub risk players who might be out of the team, they're certainly the ones I'd look to move first.
Yeah, you absolutely nailed that, mate. For someone that doesn't play classic at all and hates it, I think you've nailed the strategy quite well. We still need players playing around the bye, and I think these ones that are sub risks or players that aren't going to make your best 18 even in a bye round, I think you look to move off and you hold some of the safer ones. Bales, this one's for Mr. Egg. Who does he upgrade first, Williams, Dempsey or Roberts?
I think it's Williams for me. With Dempsey, it's almost like – you can even potentially loop him on a Friday night, see how he goes, might put out a good score. He's not going to drop a heap of cash. His break even's in the 70s and he's beginning 60s, and it's that sort of forward line where he seems pretty safe in the best 22 at least at the moment. So Williams, he's only had one score over 75 this year, and he got a 70 and the rest have been 60s. So if you can trade him and it works, I'd be happy to trade him. And Roberts, I'm probably still happy enough to hold till he's by, but as Fizz said, I think he's a guy that could be subbed out at any moment as well. He's another one, so you could trade him out as well. It probably, yeah, depends on the upgrade that you can get, but I'd go Zach Williams, but if not, you could go Roberts if it gets you to a Dacos or a Sinclair.
Steve, this one's from Ethan. Sarong and a rookie versus Clary and McKercher. Where would you go there?
I'd probably go Clary and McKercher, I think, if those are the two options.
Yeah, I think I agree there as well. You're getting two fieldable options versus one absolute gun premium, but then a rookie that you're not going to want anywhere near your field, unless it is Sullivan that you're potentially looking at this week. But yeah, I think I am Clary and McKercher in that situation too. Bales, last one for you. This one's from Core. A player that gets no love, despite the fact he's a genuine fantasy star year in, year out. I think it might have something to do with the fact that he tore both hamstrings at the same time. Adam Treloar as a pod.
You're getting it done. Averaging 107, another 115 last week. And he's, since round three, he's only gone under the ton on one occasion. And that was that Freo game where he only got 83. That was a handball happy game where everyone was handballing. I think, yeah, he had 19 handballs to only 10 kicks. He's a good pod. I think it's going to be very interesting to see what that Dogs midfield looks like with Libba. We don't know how long he's out for. It sounds like it's going to be at least a prolonged period. So I think Treloar is definitely one of those top two that's going to be in there. 958, there are a lot of good options in that price. But hey, it is the pod, and if you're looking for a pod, it could be the pod you go for. So, yeah, I couldn't talk you out of it if you go in there.
Yeah, I think all of the same things ring true that Steve spoke about for Bont. Obviously, Treloar plays for the same side, lower stoppages, less access to stoppage points. He's the type of player that I love to target late in the year, knowing that you only need to get 4 or 5 games out of him for a potential pod play. But he's someone that we see get injured year in, year out, whether it's a weird injury at the end of the game or you get subbed out. You're going to be wanting him for a long time. So I'm not sure I'd be looking to target there, especially with some of the players around his price range. But Fizz has his hand up. He's going to say he loves it.
No, I love the player, but I reckon it's team dependent. And I'll tell you why is we often talk, like when we're drafting, about how much risk you want to introduce to your team. Like if I already had Sam Walsh, Dane Zorko, maybe a ruckman who's on the fringe of getting injured, like a Rowan Marshall, it seems like he is, then I probably wouldn't trade into a player like that. Like, Treloar gets injured every year. We kind of know that. But if I had a pretty clean bill of health sort of players, like Tom Green obviously got injured, but he's not the sort of player who repeatedly gets injured. So if I had a pretty clean-looking team, he's the sort of player I would take a chance on. But if I didn't, you know, if I had, you know, like Josh Kelly and all these sort of guys, then I probably wouldn't.
That's a fantastic point, Steve. And Treloar is the type of player that can go on a run and average 130 over a month and really get you ahead of the comp. So, yeah, don't hate it. I think we're all sort of ticking it off. But, yeah, as you said, just make sure you have a look at your team and your risk profile. All right, lads, on that, we will wrap up. Thank you so much for jumping on. Really appreciate it. I wasn't really keen on doing a Steve Fizz solo pod this week, so you've really saved me. But, Bales, where can the listeners find you? I'm sure they know, considering you're on 5 days a week, but, yeah, just let the listeners know.
Yeah, you can find me at BalesDT across all the socials and AFL Fantasy Fans on the Twitter sphere as well. And I guess I'll just quickly, Tim says I need to mention wherever I go. No, I'm joking. No, I'll just mention anyway. But for those people that do want to get a special package that Tim's got, obviously with the Content Crowds Cup being sponsored by Infinite Wealth, where winning coaches get $5,000 to their favorite charity, but every fantasy coach can get a sort of like a all-in-one sort of help with your financial goals from Tim. So make sure you head to infinitewealth.com.au/AFL fantasy. and help you achieve your financial goals faster. So, yeah, make sure you guys get around that. And, yeah, shout out to Tim for doing that again this year.
Perfect. Love your work, Bowles. And Fizz, probably keep this time slot free each week. Just saying, with the pod panel members at the moment, we might need you, but nah, really appreciate you jumping on back to back. You've really helped me out, and good luck. I hope your rise up the classic ranks continues and you get away from the draft. Classic it is.
Yeah, actually, Wednesday night's actually our date night, so it really works for me coming on the show, mate. It just saves me a lot of stress. And it, look, I was really happy to come on after my massive win in the one league I play in. So I don't know who the deadbeat I was who I played, but that's fine.
Yeah, you beat me, mate. So cheers for that. Appreciate you. All right. As always, make sure you follow us at PodPodAFL on X. Please leave a rating and review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. And who knows, we might be back Monday, we might be back Wednesday, we might not be back at all. But until then, farewell.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.